say, back in his younger days, prohibition was the talk, but the rich folks walked to the woods where my daddy stayed. Jugs and jars, some shiners, these old boys here, they ain't miners. They came from the 29ers that didn't take a hole in the ground to put the bottom in their face.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Ride X365 podcast, presented by ERX Motor Park. If you're looking for the latest news from snow, moto, and off-road, then you just pushed the right button. And now, here is your host, G-Dubs.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Fly Racing Ride X365 podcast. It's Monday, February 5th, and we are wrapping up this show in the team van in Dayton, Ohio. Strangely enough, this is the second time in less than a year we've edited a podcast in Dayton. This week's show is all about off-road motorcycles. Just spent the week in Sumter, South Carolina. Drove up here to my buddy Nick Feringer's shop. He's going to take me to the airport in just a bit, and then we'll be back in Minnesota. And just for a short 10 days, I'm going to fly back down here, grab the Mystery Machine, and drive up to Salamanca, New York, where we're going to kick off the second half of the AMSOIL Championship Snowcross season. First of all, thank you to Fly Racing for supporting this podcast, along with ERX Motor Park, who those guys just had a big event of their own, the Eliminator Race. You can read all about that on our website. We also want to thank Studboy Traction, CNA Pro Skis, Fox Shocks, Custom Outfitters, Brothers Motorsports, Walker Evans Racing, Northway Sports, Fast Company, Enduro Engineering, Action Graphics, and Checkpoint Off-Road. These are all guys that help us bring you all the content on the podcast, website, social content. And like we say every show, if you're going to look for parts or in need of parts or service in the snow or moto worlds, please check with these guys first. That's keep them growing, and that keeps the show growing and more good stuff coming your way. So like I said, we just finished up the first Kenda Tire National Enduro of the year, and we're going to be talking to the pro podium finishers from that race. But even if you're a snowcross guy or a moto guy, whatever, you're not an off-road guy, you're going to want to listen to this show because we start off with the 2017 National Enduro Champion, Full Gas Sprint Enduro Champion, Stuart Baylor, who is a super unique dude, and much of what he has to say applies to any type of racing. You know, I've always felt there's three kinds of racers, and whether it's cars, motorcycles, snowmobiles, whatever. There's the guy with, like, marginal ability who just works his ass off to make something happen. And you know, a lot of times some of those guys get to an upper level. But there's also that guy that's got all the natural ability in the world and just tries to, I don't say skate by, but just kind of get by on what he's got and look good when he's doing it. And then there's that truly 1% who have, like, they have the natural ability, all the, you know, just everything comes easy to them, but they also put in the work and get the results that are going to make them shine. And that's Stu Baylor. We also have two up-and-coming stars in North American off-road, Josh Toth and Ben Kelly, who just happened to follow Baylor on the podium a couple days ago after we recorded this pod with them riding at a riding area outside of Wedgefield, South Carolina. Both Toth and Kelly are from the Northeast, but they've recently moved to North Carolina. And like Baylor, these guys are hungry. They've got the talent, and they're putting in the work. So it's exciting to see them get the results, you know, right off the bat. So thanks again for tuning in. We're trying to ramp up the podcast and get one out to you at least every other week. And please, when you're on iTunes, when you follow the podcast or find it on iTunes, when you're on there, leave a comment. It really helps get the show up there in the rankings, you know, like with the motorsports category. And hey, man, leave us a comment, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. We want to know what you like, what you don't like. We want to keep bringing you more of the good stuff. And we just want to hear from more of you. You know, we're always trying to fine-tune things and get you more outside-of-the-box stuff that you're interested in. So, yeah, for sure, leave a comment. Let us know. And that's it, man. Let's get this thing rolling with a guy who, like I say, is as unique as they get in racing and a true badass on a motorcycle, Stuart Baylor Jr. All right. Hey, everybody. First guest tonight is a guy that everybody knows. I'd say one of, not the top off-road riders in the world, man. North America, for sure, the world. 2017 National Enduro Champion, 2017 Full Gas Sprint Enduro Champion, Stuart Baylor Jr. How you doing, Stuart?
Oh, I'm doing good.
So, hey, man, you're a guy I really admire how you go about things kind of on your own terms. You win two championships last year. I I guess I've heard you tell me that you kind of got the call or the offer to go back into the KTM factory rig, but you decide to kind of do your own thing again. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, we I spoke with KTM a little bit, and you know, for me, I think it's a little bit easier for me to do what I need to do on my own terms. And the KTM deal's great. You know, you get a lot of support over there. I would definitely say that you probably get more support than what I chose to do, as far as the resources that the factory team has. But what I need is a little more specific. You know, I like doing my own thing, and we all lined up to race in the beginning for fun, and that's what I want to do. You know, if I want to go racing, when you lose sight of the reasons that you love this sport, then you'll never be able to compete at your full potential. So you know, if you treat it too much like a job, you've got to find that balance. And I feel like for me with the KTM team, they're very professional. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. I think it just doesn't work for me personally. So, you know, nothing against the team by any means. I don't want anybody to hear it wrong when I say it, but it just didn't suit me.
Well, I think it's cool that you've been around long enough and you know, you've won at every level and done everything different ways that you can recognize the fact that hey, if this is, you know, we did all start out doing this for fun, but for you, it's a job, it's your career. So if I'm going to do it the best way, this is how I need to do it. It's cool that you can recognize that, but still, you know, still on good terms with them, still full support, correct?
Yeah. KTM does a lot for me. They're a huge part of my program, and you know, we have a mutual respect for each other's program, and they understand why I do what I do, and I think that I have a little more freedom doing what I'm doing, but I still get the factory motors, the good suspension, the whole nine yards. If I need it, they take care of me. They always have. I've worked professionally for KTM for 7 years now. This is my 8th year racing professionally for KTM. So, you know, since XC2 in 2010. And they've been a huge part of my program since even before that, through the youth days working with Jack Penton. So, you know, I really admire what KTM does for the sport. They do a lot more than anybody else, you know, by far. And I don't ever want to lose a relationship with those guys. And that was kind of the thing when I spoke with Auntie. One of the questions was, you know, if I turn down the factory ride, will it affect the way that you guys help me aside from that? And he said, no, we'll do whatever it takes. He said, I totally understand. And you know, they're a great team. They're more than just a great team. They help out aside from that. You know, they help so many guys that aren't riding for them factory. You know, they groom so many youth riders. They do more. They go a step above and beyond any other bike manufacturer out there. And I definitely don't ever want to lose anything that I have with them.
Yeah, that's super cool that you can maintain that and still go on this way. So talk about the new team, Tele Energy Racing. How did that come about? And talk a little bit about who they are and what they've got going on this year.
So Tele is So it's pronounced Tele. Todd Ely is the team owner's name, and the energy is not an energy drink. I guess most people think that, but it's natural energy. He's in the natural gas business, and he's in the water part of it. So I guess there's a lot of different people thinking that he's a bunch of different things, but he does fracking the wells basically.
Okay.
And he has an interest in the sport. He owns a dirt bike shop. He loves the sport. His kids race, his whole family's there. It's a big family affair. And, after Big Buck this year, he came to me and he said, why don't you come over, sit down, have a beer and let's talk for a minute. And I came over and he said, what would it take to support a guy like you? And I said, obviously financially we'd have to talk. I'd need somebody that's at the race week in and week out. You know, there's no telling, but there's a lot that goes in it. And he said, all right, well, let's stay in touch and have a couple beers every race or so, and we'll keep talking. So, you know, went on about that, and this summer he came down to South Carolina and hung out for a couple weeks, went to the beach with him, and talked a little more in depth, and I didn't know if he was really serious until then, and he was ready to get the ball rolling. So we started working on everything, and kind of, I don't know the term, but Shannon, I guess she's like the, he's the team manager, but she might be the boss.
She runs the show.
I think she runs the show. She did a lot for us, and she's got all the sponsors lined up. She's taking care of everything, and you know, it's a big group of people to support there, and obviously we have some youth riders, some amateur riders, and then the cool twist to it was while we were down at the beach, Todd asked me, "What would it take to have both of you guys?" I was like, "Both who?" He said, "Well, you and your brother."
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I wasn't expecting that by any means, and he said, "No, I just think it's cool as hell. You know, two guys, two brothers that compete at the top level that have both won national enduros and GNCCs in the same year, have both won national championships and world championships together." He said, "I just think that's cool. That's appealing to me. So that's what I want." And I was like, "I don't know. You know, I'll talk to Grant." And obviously, Grant's had a couple rough years, and KR4 did a lot for him to kind of get him back on his feet after a kind of major mishap where he was drug out and kind of shot down by another team. And you know, Todd was able to fill the spot, and you know, Grant moved from KR4 back over to Tealy with me, and it's kind of been the whole plan all along, is getting back on the same team. We grew up racing together on the same team. You know, the Baylor brothers always did the same program, and we lost that for a couple years, and now we're back doing the same thing. Obviously, Grant's shoulder injuries got him slow, but we rode the last couple weeks, and he finally got back on the bike, and he's feeling good, and believe it or not, he's actually lining up to race for the first National Enduro, so...
Well, I think I we're getting a little sideshow here, but I think I heard you earlier saying that you rode with him just this last week, and then maybe he's got to, you know, get himself back into race shape, but his pace is right there, huh?
Yeah, you know, he we jumped in on a turn track, and it was fairly rough. You know, we plowed it up and did a few motos on it, so it got really choppy, and we rode for I think about a 25-30 minute moto, and he stayed right there. I didn't shake him. You know, I was riding at 90%, which is basically close to race pace for me. And obviously, you know, race conditions, it's going to change as far as the way that you're attacking the trail, the tighter trees, that could play a role in the way he feels. But the therapist said that he's doing great. His strength is back. His motion, everything that he needs is there. And the best thing he can do is go riding. So either way, he's going to be riding this weekend, and he said, "I might as well just go to the race, not worry about scores, and go have fun, and then I'll at least know what I need to work on, you know, given a few more weeks before the next one." So I know he was sore the day after we rode, and he's ridden a few times since then, but it's one of those things. It's more muscle memory. I think riding a dirt bike, there's a lot of ways that you can cheat the bumps from making you sore. And if you watch a pro, the lines that we take, the way that we ride, there's a lot of ways to cheat the track to make it a little bit easier on yourself. And obviously Grant knows those, and I'm sure he'll be riding the edges, I guess you would say, all weekend to keep on the smooth ground. And I think he should be able to get a top 10 and potentially a top 5, you know, even at a riding at a 70% pace for him.
Well, and like I say, there's no better way than to get out and actually race to find out, like you say, where you're at and to keep, you know, building and going forward, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So the class, obviously the goal for you is to repeat as champion in National Enduro. You're going to do all the GNCCs again and all the full sprint?
Yep.
Full
gas? So we're doing all the GNCCs, all the National Enduros, and all the full gas Enduros. And, you know, it's same goal, different year, same goal. Obviously, I want to win all three, and that would be the ultimate goal. But it's a long season. There's a lot of fast guys out there, and if I can have half the year that I had last year, I'm happy.
Yeah, no, it was a great year. I mean, you ran into a rough patch in the middle, right, health-wise, but you came back, and when it really got tight there at the end, you kind of stepped it up. I know we talked before, you're not always even the fastest starter at a National Enduro, but those last couple of rounds, you put in good first tests and made it happen.
Yeah, you know, that was something that I kind of changed the way that I was doing my practice throughout the week. You know, I would jump straight on the bike and stretch, warm up, and go straight to race pace. Go ride moto, different things like that. And it helps, you know, instead of starting with a 40-second deficit, which I seem to do quite frequently. You know, it's tough when you put yourself in the hole right off the bat. And that's been something that I've had a bad habit of. And I think doing the sprint enduros and as well as riding a lot more motocross have kind of helped with my starts. And the last couple of races last year, you know, I won the first section I think it was Alabama. I definitely won the first test. And then the other couple of races, I was still close. You know, I had a crash and the first test of one and still was only 10 seconds off. But it's a lot better than the 40-second deficit that I'm usually going into the race with.
So is there one or the other that's a priority for you as far as those series? What means more? Or is it just trying to, you know, win all three would be a career highlight?
You know, winning all three would be great. But I've won the National Enduros twice. I've won the Sprint Enduros now. My next obvious goal would be the GNCCs. And 3 or 4 years ago, if you would have told me that I would be competing, or even if it was a realistic possibility for me to win a GNCC, I would think you were crazy, because 3 or 4 years ago, my wrist injury, the doctors were telling me I wouldn't be racing. And every time I lined up for a GNCC, it was all I could do to finish top 10. I was literally going in for a top 10 overall. I was finishing 12th, 13th overall pretty consistently, and that was tough for me to wrap my mind around. And, you know, last year just everything changed with my training, the way my wrist felt, obviously moving to flex bars, and just a lot of little things that helped out. And now that is a realistic goal, and it's not one that's too far-fetched, and that is my focus. You know, last year I came into the season working a lot of tight turns, a lot of turn tracks, you know, more focused on the National Enduros. This year I've been riding a lot of moto, more focused on GNCCs, you know, fast pace, rough tracks, and that's the goal. You know, if I could win a GNCC championship, that would obviously be awesome.
Yeah. So you talk about changing up your training, and I see you were here today a couple of days before the first race at Sumter, and there's a lot of guys here. There's several miles of trail, but there's a little, it's not really a turn track, but just a little oval out here with a couple of berms and all whooped out. And you went out there, and I don't know, you maybe stretched, warmed up for a couple of laps, but then you just hit that thing hard for like 15 minutes. And I mean, I looked around, and even the other guys here were kind of standing there with their jaws dropping, because you just hit that thing and didn't let off, man. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, you know, this is actually a track that I kind of grew up racing or riding on, not racing on, but grew up riding here, and I actually learned to ride out here at this same place, and it's I got a lot of history of this track, and the little oval here has been here as long as I can remember, for 20 years now. You know, I started riding out here when I was 3 years old, and it's been as long as I can remember, and this track is absolutely brutal, rough, and miserable to ride, really. But it's fun for me. I love it. You know, it's different. It's South Carolina sand. It's the best sand. I mean, you get good traction, your bike sticks anywhere, and it's just it's probably this would be like my powerhouse. If you came here and rode with me, this would be the place that I feel like I could race with any racer in the world, and hopefully I would say could blow his doors in. You know, this is the track, and I love this little riding area. I can definitely say the deep whoops in this little oval track, I've spent countless hours burning motos in on it.
Well, I got to say, these will probably be posted by the time people hear this, but we're going to have some photos up today that you're going around the berm on this end, like pretty much flat, damn near dragging a bar, your left foot's out in front of your tire, and you're wiping your goggles off. It's like, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those, I mean, it's something I've ridden my entire life, and it's one of the places where I'm so comfortable doing it. You know, I feel like I could almost do it with my eyes closed.
So, No, that was pretty cool to see. So, and again, it shows that your love of just riding dirt bikes, right? It wasn't like you're just out there doing the work. I could tell you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah, definitely. You know, changing my lines up, jumping into the corners, and having fun. You know, it's what it's all about.
So, yeah, I got to ask you about the bike. We're with our magazine. We're working on a new bike build. We're going to do the Champs new clothes, the Tele Racing 350. SXF, right? You're riding an SX, correct?
Yes, correct.
So tell me about your decision to ride an SX. Is it just gear ratio, motor? What's
the gear ratio is just a little bit different, and it seems to suit my style. So the SX just works for me.
And do you put an 18-inch rear wheel on it?
I do put an 18-inch rear wheel on the SX. That's about the only change I make as far as practicing. For the race bikes, we put the larger battery carrier in there and the larger battery in. We put the Super B's in, and
no, you're a flex bar guy.
The flex bars obviously go on it.
Ankle savers, are you?
I do run the ankle savers. We've got Mojo Motorsports, which makes some pretty trick little parts, anodized stuff all over the bike, brake levers, oil plugs, you know, the whole nine yards there, rotor guards. We're running the SRT chains and sprockets, C-Concept C. There's, you know, there's quite a few little things, Henson clutch, but
and I know some things are sponsor-driven or whatever, but like with the bars and the pegs, are those preference, rider preference? Or?
Yeah, so the bars and the pegs, I messed up my ankle years ago, and every race, if I hit a ditch wrong, if I did anything, my ankle would swell up like a balloon, and I just couldn't figure out what I needed to do. You know, it was basically to the point where if I raced on Sunday, I could not exercise until Wednesday, which puts me, you know, Wednesday, potentially Thursday, and then Thursday or Friday, we're leaving to the next race. So I couldn't ride, I couldn't exercise, but one day a week usually. And that was, it was just tough to deal with. And there was a magazine that had these ankle savers foot pegs in it. And I reached out to the guys, I got in touch with Tom, and he sent me a few sets, and I loved them, and ever since then I just can't ride without them. You know, just knowing that I could potentially damage my ankle again, and you know, even without the ankle injury, it doesn't bother me anymore. But I still can't ride without those pegs. I mean, you get on the bike, especially in the deep sand whoops, and without that extra little platform, I don't feel comfortable. So the flex bars, that's another thing. You know, obviously I've had my fair share of surgeries, and I had 5 on my right wrist. It was tough, and I was very close-minded to flex bars. They contacted me years ago. As soon as I broke my wrist in 2012, they sent me a set. I put them on the bike, and I decided that I didn't like them before I even rode with them. It was more a mental block than anything. I got on the bike, and I already didn't like them, and I didn't give them a fair shot until a couple years later when I realized, like, this just, you know, something's got to change. I've got to do something for my wrist. And in 2016, I started running the flex bars, and I can't ride without them now.
Yeah, I know. I've heard the same thing from other guys. Like, they don't even really give them a shot until they put them on. I've ridden with them for several years. Cole and those guys out there are good guys, and I swear by them, man. You know, people think they're big, heavy, expensive, whatever. But I've never even had wrist injuries or issues. But being an old fat guy, you know, it's it makes a difference for me. And I hear from guys who, you know, at your level and in between, who use them, who love them, you know.
So. Yeah, definitely. I mean, the biggest thing, square edge bumps, rocks and roots, it cuts down on so much vibration, which can't be good for your joints anyway. So surely it helps, you know, for the long run. I'm sure they do help.
So, hey, one last sponsor-driven thing, Fly Racing. They're a big supporter of our podcast and a lot of things we do, and you're back wearing Fly gear this year. I see you're wearing, like, the blue and orange stuff today. Is that a team thing, or do you have a preference in some of that gear?
Yeah, I've got a preference, and I've got five different sets right now that I've worn, and I've got some different colors I'll break out for this weekend, but the biggest thing is I like to match and kind of keep it color-coordinated. I haven't been able to run different colors the last few years, so I'm trying to throw some stuff together and make it look really cool. And, you know, Fly was one of the sponsors that I've had. I worked with Dale Spangler when he was with Fastway years ago. And I think he moved to Fly in 2009, so it's been 9 or 10 years now. It was around that area, around that time. And I've always loved working with those guys. They're always been great people. The entire company. I mean, I love working with Fly. They take care of their riders really well, and you know, they're one of the companies that I would, you know, compare to KTM. You know, they're there for their guys. They take care. They go a step above and beyond, and they do more for the industry than a lot of the other guys. And you know, I'm definitely glad to be back with them, and their gear is just comfortable, and it actually comes clean. You know, it's one of the few, like, you can race a mud race, go and pressure wash it off, and it comes back clean. And quite a few companies out there that just I don't think the quality's
kind of a one and done. You get them dirty. Yeah. So yeah, are you wearing the light hydrogen stuff or what?
I've got a little bit of everything. Yeah. I think this weekend I'll be running the Evolution stuff.
It's warmer.
Yeah, it's a little chilly out.
Sounds like maybe a little rain on Sunday too, huh?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. You know, we raced a local here last weekend, and it rained the entire time, and I enjoyed it. It was fun. I had a blast all day.
All right. So, you got any tips for vision in the rain? What do you do?
There's a lot of different things that you can do. So, you know, that I just started working with the X brand, and I kept goggles on all weekend last weekend with it raining the entire race. They didn't fog inside, which most every company that I've ever worked with, every goggle I've ever worn fogs inside, and every other racer there pulled their goggles except me. So that was pretty cool to see. But there are a couple different things you can do. Obviously, anti-fog on the inside. You can tear out the foam on the bottom part of the goggle. You don't want to do it on the top because the roost can drop down on the top and then it's down in your goggles, getting in your eyes. So tear the foam out of the bottom. That'll keep it from fogging on the inside. Spray the outside of the lens with Rain-X before you go and put your tear-offs on. That'll help with Rain-X. Actually does help with fog, and it'll keep the rain coming off once you pull the tear-offs all the way off. And that's what I did last weekend. Now, there's another trick that I have. It's screen goggles. Obviously, everybody's seen it. You know, I was kind of the only person that anybody knew of running it a few years ago. They put it in the magazines. And, you know, since then, there's quite a few others that are taking it and trying to kind of make it their own idea. But, you know, I've been doing that for a long time. It actually started 20 years ago at this race. Scott Mount lined up and raced with screen across his face because it rained and then froze that night. So all the pine limbs were down in the trail and you couldn't keep goggles on. And that's where we learned that. So we replaced the lens with screen, and you know, you've still got a duck for roost, but it's better than having absolutely nothing on your eyes. Another thing that I do is I actually put tape around the rim of my goggles to keep the goggle or keep the rain from coming in the top behind my tear off. So I double over tape and then just kind of stick it around the edge all the way around it to kind of protect that. And I'm not a big roll off fan. So that's, you know, I've always tried to find ways around wearing roll offs, and that's kind of what I go to.
Okay. Well, man, so that's some really good advice from the champ right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a bunch of different tricks.
Well, hey, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you probably hung out here longer than you thought. You've been riding, and it's about almost dinner time, huh?
Close to it.
So yeah, thanks a lot for doing this, Stu, and good luck this weekend and good luck this season. And we'll see you maybe at another national down the road.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Bye.
All right, before we get to our final two guests, we're going to take a quick sponsor break, so hang in there, and we'll be right back with Josh Toth and Ben Kelly.
Hey, what's up, Ride X365 fans? Colton Moore here, and this is a non-commercial where Fly Racing tells you how they make cool products and sponsor awesome athletes. I've been with Fly Racing for years now. Not only do they keep me safe and protected, but they have some of the sickest gear you can get. I've went down several times, and their gear alone keeps me safe. And also being out on the track, being out riding freestyle, I have people ask me where I get my gear, and I just tell them Fly Racing, go check it out.
We weekends are precious, which is why you use AMSOIL synthetic motor oils to protect the toys that make your weekends so great. You can also give your weekday vehicle that same protection. AMSOIL Signature Series motor oils deliver 75% more wear protection than required by a leading industry standard, giving you above and beyond protection 7 days a week. See the proof and order for direct-to-your-door delivery at AMSOILProtects.com.
Okay, hey everybody, joining me now is the 2017 XC2 champion, Josh Toth. Is it Toth or Toth?
Toth.
Josh, yep. Toth. All right. So, hey, Josh, I'm going to be straight up, man. I don't know a whole lot about you. I followed your career for the last several years from just, you know, online and some of the results and that, but I don't know a whole lot about you. You're a Connecticut guy, trail jesters kind of guy, but the big news for you this year is you get the call you're on the factory KTM team.
Yeah, that's the latest change coming from Yamaha last year, and now I'm on the factory KTM team.
So tell me a little bit, last year, what did you end up with? 8 wins in GNCC.
Yep.
And then where'd you end up? Did you race all the National Enduros last year?
No, I think I did 4 or 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so this year, full schedule of both, or?
Yep. Yeah, I'm planning. Last year I just did it. It wasn't my contract. I just did it for just learning experience and fun.
Yep.
And did pretty well the last couple I did, so I'd like to do all of them this year, so that's
okay.
My plan.
So we're here, obviously, in Sumter, getting ready for the first round of the year. What's your, being a Connecticut guy, you, like me, Minnesota guy, you don't get to ride outdoors all the time, but you told me you recently moved to North Carolina?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And so what's your build-up to the first race been? What kind of off-season?
It's been really busy because we started training with Charlie Mullins, and so he's been keeping us really busy, even when it was cold in North Carolina when we were moving down. And as of recently, like 3 weeks ago, we moved down to Caleb Russell's place.
Okay.
And we've just been training with him in Florida for the past two and a half weeks, and just been really busy doing that leading up to now.
And it's not exactly warm here today, man.
No.
It's not not like home, but it's for sure. I think it was like 65 and sunnier yesterday, but today the wind came up, kind of cooled off a bit. But
yeah.
So tell me a little bit, how did you, just to give some of our listeners a little background, how did you get started in off-road?
My dad got me into riding a dirt bike, and he liked riding off-road. And I have an older brother and a younger brother, so we all just kind of did it together and just raced Netra growing up, which is our local series. And just grew up doing that, and slowly but surely got to the point where I am now.
Okay, so how many years have you been doing, like, as a pro rider?
This would be going into my third year, so I have 2 full years of pro.
Okay, and so you'll race the Pro 1 class in National Enduro also?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So, and goals for this year, you're back in XC2 and GNCC?
Yeah.
Okay, so to defend that title,
yeah,
I'd imagine?
Yeah, that's my goal for GNCC is to defend the title and be on the overall podium as much as I can.
Okay.
And, yeah, I'd like to give the National Enduro title a shot and hopefully land in the top 3, but my goal is for the championship.
Okay. Do you have a preference in the, like, a cross-country versus Enduro?
No, I really like to ride a little bit everything, and I know some riders are just hate the Enduros or hate GNCCs and just do one or the other, but I just like to ride everything.
Yeah, well, that's cool to hear, man. Yeah, I mean, to me, off-road's off-road, right? It's
yeah.
Make the most of whatever.
Absolutely.
You got there. So what bike are you racing this year?
I'm going to race a KTM 250.
The
250F.
250F, okay,
yeah.
In both series?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
XC or the SX?
It's the XC.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, cool, man. I appreciate you taking the time to do this, I know you got some miles in today, and then little probably a lighter day tomorrow, and then we're off to race time, right?
Yeah, I'm excited for it, and expecting some rain, so that'll make it interesting and
yeah.
A lot more fun even.
I don't know if that's more fun or not. So, all right, cool. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, right now we've got another Connecticut guy, a longtime trail jester, Ben Kelly. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing good. Just out here in South Carolina, getting ready for the first National Enduro.
So I was talking to Josh, and I'm going to tell you the same thing. Is I know you from results, and I've kind of followed your career the last few years, but I don't know a lot about you. So GNCC and National Enduro has kind of been you've done some extreme Enduros also?
Yeah, I've done not many National Enduros, really. I guess over the last few years, I've done 3.
Okay.
And done the GNCCs the last 2 years in the XC2 class, so I'm going to do that and all the National Enduros. And like you said, I've done the TKO and Tough Like Roar, but I'm still going to do that this year, so I'm excited. I'm going to be riding one of the new KTM 250 TPI fuel injection
right.
bikes.
Is that just at the Extreme Enduros? Or?
Yeah, I'll just be running that at the Extreme Enduros.
And what are you riding the rest of the season?
Rest of the season, I'll be on 250 XCF.
Okay.
KTM.
So do you have a preference to the type of racing you do, or a little bit of everything?
I just like everything. Yeah. I like to ride everything, and I just like to do it all to try to be a good all-around rider.
Sure. So the Extreme Enduros have really taken hold of that. I mean, it's become super popular, and a lot more guys are doing it. What drew you to that? Just give it a try?
I guess just growing up in Connecticut, which is in New England, it's super rocky and technical, and I guess I'm just comfortable riding the rocks and technical stuff, and it just really interests me. I don't know, just changing it up from the super high speed racing and stuff, and just using your skills to try to make it through the course. I guess it's just a lot of fun.
Sure, just kind of a personal challenge as well as
competition.
Yeah. So how'd you get started in racing?
My dad and his brother rode, and so when I was five, my parents got me a bike for my birthday, and I guess from there it's been history. I've just been riding and racing ever since, just loving it, doing it for fun, and just racing on the weekends, doing local races, and riding with my friends. And I guess in 2016 I started doing the GNCCs, and kind of there is when I figured I think I'm going to try to do it for a career. And ever since then it's been going good, and just looking forward to the future.
So you say you've done three National Enduros in the past. Have you raced Sumter before?
Yeah, I did Sumter in 2016.
Okay, so you're familiar with this this area. And
a
lot of guys show up here. We're Friday before the race at the State Forest. A lot of guys show up here and get some riding in. It's pretty cool to see. You know, I think this happens at a lot of the National Enduros. Everybody finds, like, their little spots the day or two before. Is that kind of the same thing with the GNCCs?
GNCCs may be a little bit different. I know a lot of people, I'm sure, travel around and try to get acclimated to the terrain, depending on where the race is. But for me, usually I just stay
right at home and show
at
up.
Home and ride, and then just travel down for the weekend, do the race, and head back.
Okay, cool. So Connecticut, our primary fan base over the long term has been the snowmobile industry. You ever do any snowmobiling?
Not really. I mean, I've done it a handful of times, but I guess I snowboarded a lot growing up.
Okay.
I guess over the last 2 years, I haven't really much because I've been traveling south to escape from the cold and snow, but not much of a snowmobiler.
And are you North Carolina now, too?
You've moved
down here or there for?
Yeah, just moved down to North Carolina, I guess, the beginning of this year. So.
Okay. So goals for this year?
Goals for this year are to go for that XC2 championship in the GNCCs. And for National Enduros, I just want to finish strong, be on the podium and
Pro One, right? I ask you.
Yeah, I'll be racing Pro One. National Enduros.
Okay, so all right. Well, hey, man, thanks for taking the time to do this, and good luck this year. We'll kind of keep an eye out for you tomorrow or on Sunday. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Okay. Hey, all right. Thanks again for tuning in, everyone. That's going to do it for this week's show. I want to thank all of our sponsors, starting with Fly Racing. I want to say I'm just about to head out, like I said, to the airport here. And one thing, you know, we always talk about Fly riding gear, helmets, the F2 carbon helmet, but they make a travel jacket, which I've been wearing all winter, and the thing is, it's just awesome. Super light, super warm, good looking. So check out, when you go to flyracing.com, check out some of the, you know, not just the riding gear, but the software, hard parts. You know, there's stuff on there for everything, mountain bike, watercraft, you name it. But the travel jacket's one of my favorites here this winter, so look into that if you're on the run all the time or just looking for a cool winter jacket. But also ERX Motor Park, Studboy Traction, CNA Pro Skis, Fox Shocks, Custom Outfitters, Brothers Motorsports, Walker Evans Racing, Northway Sports, Fast Company, Enduro Engineering, Action Graphics, and Checkpoint Off-Road. Thank you to all those guys, and thank you for tuning in, man. I say it all the time, but things keep rolling, things keep growing. Website, social media is blowing up. I appreciate you guys for jumping on board. We had a lot of interaction with the off-road guys this weekend in South Carolina. It's awesome to see that because we want to, you know, obviously it's a personal love of mine, right? But we want to make this thing grow. Off-road, I don't think always gets the credit it deserves, and it's got to be hands down the fastest growing segment of the motorcycle racing world right now. So thank you to all of you guys who participated, photo shoots, podcasts, and just stopped by the van this weekend in Sumter. Looking forward to doing more. We're going to try and even get to the next round in Louisiana. And for all of our snowcross faithful, hey, man, we're back at it, second half of the season, and we've got a good one going. We'll have results from the I-500. We just had the Sioux I-500 last weekend. Didn't touch on that, but Zach Erfendahl and Wes Selby winning on an Articat in a close race over the Bunky Polaris team. We're going to try and get a feature up on that, gather up some photos from some people that were on site. But, yeah, more and more coming all the time. Thank you. I can't say it enough, man. I appreciate you guys. And we'll see you in 2 weeks from New York.
One more night, one more show. Four down, 84 to go. This ain't no time for moving slow. Greenville to Baton Rouge. Call you up when I get free. A life to live is the life I choose.